In our hallowed spot in the parlor where we have been for over 30 years, we are happy to be coming to you from this Detroit Regional Chamber Mackinac Policy Conference. We have our relentless positive radio. They have a quest for common ground. And boy, oh boy, do we need it. We also have more breaking news right at the beginning than I can remember. And the breaking news includes another president bites the dust at Michigan State University. I cannot believe it will be six president years. And, of course, at Michigan, we don't have a full-time, solid, voted upon, I guess, president yet. And then I look at the house is on fire, Michiganders grossly overestimating state rankings, and I am, for the first time ever, really concerned and disappointed about what I'm learning. There's one man who can turn that around for me, and thank God this is his year to be the chair of the 2026 Mackinac Policy Conference, because Bob Riney, CEO of Henry Ford Health, always has a smile and a positive note, uplifting comments. And I'm depending on you for that now, my friend.
I'll try not to let you down, Paul W. It's good to be with you.
It's good to be with you, but I'm not wrong when I say this is a little bit overwhelming.
No, you're not wrong at all. And one of the reasons that we chose the theme A Quest for Common Ground and then led with a session called Michigan's House is on Fire is because this is a great state. It's a state worth fighting for, and it's a state worth winning. But you don't win if you don't recognize your problems. And we could sit here all day and talk about the great things in our state, and there are many. But we are slipping in some key metrics, and we're not getting out of our own way. That's the challenge. And I think some of the things you're seeing with the university president du jour that's happening is another example of us not getting out of our own way. And we got to fix that, and we've got to fix it now.
Well, I'm so glad that you have said and stressed that these challenges in this great state of ours are not partisan. This is not a, your own quote, this is not a Democrat or Republican issue. This is a Michigan issue.
It is, and the way we're going to is for all Michiganders to not believe that there is one party to solve and the other party to wreck. We actually need to demand bipartisan support on key issues like education reform, fix our academic rankings. We've got to focus on economic development. We want bipartisan bills, but we can't be paralyzed and end up with nothing or something that gets whipsawed every 4 to 8 years. We need to send a strong message to the rest of the country and the rest of the world that Michigan is a friendly, vital, and thriving place to do business and to live. We got to grow. It's simple as that. We've got to grow our population. And, you know, our party partisanship stops us sometimes from telling the truth because we're afraid it's going to be twisted by, you know, one political party or the other. The facts are the facts. This is simple farmer's math. We have less people than we need to continue to thrive.
Well, and there's, you know, plenty of blame to go around. I'm not necessarily suggesting we hone in on the blame, because the blame is the last 20, 30 years. I just saw former Governor Jennifer Granholm. Last night we saw our Governor Gretchen Whitmer. I saw today our former Governor Rick Snyder. Sadly, all of this has been happening during all of their terms. And as you've put it, you don't ever solve a problem by failing to recognize that you have one. We have some major, major problems in Michigan, and we point fingers and we kick the can down the road, and now it's costing us. I, for one, did not know how poorly, how bad off we are. I had no idea. I thought we were kind of average. We're way, way below average. We're skimming the bottom in all of these other areas that I'm shocked.
Bad news is that you are not alone. The average person in the state of Michigan has believed that we are doing okay. you know, we may not be at the top, but we're certainly not at the bottom. But the facts show otherwise.
Ugh.
The good news, though, is these are fixable problems. There are solutions to these problems, and it doesn't have to take forever. Ohio put together a long-term economic development plan, and they're thriving under it. Because what do businesses want? Predictability. Nashville, Tennessee, actually the state of Tennessee. 15 years ago, you and I would never be talking about Tennessee as one of the emerging economic powerhouses in the country. But here they are. It takes will, it takes determination, and it takes alignment. You can't spend your energy infighting. You got to align and compete.
And I think a lot of people thought there was hope for that with Mike Duggan, if Mike Duggan had become governor. He has walked that fine line. He has brought together Republicans and Democrats to get things done. And a lot of people, besides having the wind blown out of them and knocked out of them, and were stunned to hear him say, "I'm out." Because they felt that was the only hope at this point.
Yeah, I was very disappointed as well, because I've obviously seen what incredible work he's done as the mayor of Detroit and how we are benefiting. And by the way, that's an example of how things can be done. What I am hoping, though, is, you know, in many ways, I think this starts by having all of our citizens have a better understanding of where we're at. That we are not in an acceptable place in economic development, in GDP growth, in population growth, in obtainment of four-year degrees. I mean, we're not where we need to be. And for let's just own the forward view, and let's recognize that we need to send a message to both parties that these are problems we expect you to find common ground on.
We need you to work together and find that in this quest for common ground. Bob Reiney is the CEO of Henry Ford Health and the chair of this 2026 Mackinac Policy Conference. That being said, how do you feel it's going so far?
You know, I've been really happy with the conference. Great shout out to the Detroit Regional Chamber team, which does a phenomenal job. But for me, hearing people all day today and last night saying thank you for this theme, it's perfectly timed, it's a rallying cry, and it's what we need. And then encouraging everybody to practice common ground. We're telling everyone, go to sessions that are featuring people that are very different than your ideology or your beliefs. Listen for intersect areas that you could agree on. And people are doing that, and they're really enjoying it.
Excellent, excellent. Hey, nice job on the weather, by the way.
And I'm telling you, man, I was not going to take credit if it was raining, but I'm taking credit that it's dry and sunny.
It's actually beautiful up here, actually.
It is.
And sometimes it's been very cold, but it's very comfortable. It's lovely. We have the biggest crowd I remember, but I don't get out and count.
Crowds here, and they're engaged.
They're engaged, and they're taking a look, and that we're all aiming for a quest for common ground. I thank you, Bob Reiney. I thank your lovely wife, Sandy, for giving us you and time away from the family, because you, God knows your regular job as CEO of Henry Ford Health is very time-consuming, but now add to that chair of the 2026 Mackinac Policy Conference. Job well done.
Thank you, and it's all about the health of the state. Both hats I wear.
Man, that's a good point. It is all about the health of the state. We're into that as we continue with news coming up here. Focus with Paul W. Smith, WJR. Very happy to welcome back to our program at the Detroit Regional Chamber Mackinac Policy Conference the great Secretary of State of this great state of Michigan. Happens to also be a gubernatorial candidate on the Democrat side of the ledger, Jocelyn Benson.
Always happy to be here, Paul.
We are surrounded by news, some of which we've already broken about the President Guskowitz, who was going to be on our show today, not going to come because he's not going to be the president at MSU anymore. There's some good news regarding health care that we'll break again coming up in just a little bit. But it occurs to me, Madam Secretary, You've had some experience in trying to patch things up, make things work the way they need to. Talk to me about that, because that's important for our next governor to understand where we are and what we need to do.
Well, it's critical that the next governor be prepared to make sure we're taking our state into the future, becoming the economic engine of the Midwest, driving down costs, increasing access to well-paying jobs, improving our public education system. And as Secretary of State, I know how to take a broken system and fix it. I've taken our elections to being ranked 31st in the nation to number 2, even in the midst of national challenges. And I've taken what is once the butt of jokes, our Department of Motor Vehicles, and now it is a poster child for government efficiency and making things easier for Michiganders. And I think all of government should work that way. We should show up when you need us, save you time, save you money, and then get out of the way.
Madam Secretary, what are your thoughts on this is the Detroiter, and the house is on fire is what everyone is saying. Folks, wake up. The house is on fire. Michiganders grossly overestimate state rankings. I, for one, thought we were doing better than we apparently are doing. This did not surprise you, I would guess.
No, I understand the urgency of the moment, and I think in this moment we must all resolve to be firefighters together. We must come together across the aisle, work together, develop solutions. And I've been coming to Mackinac now for 19 years. We often have the same conversations and nothing gets done. Well, I am a leader who gets things done, and I am impatient, and I will bring people together to move the needle, and I think that's what we need to operate with a sense of urgency. I'm a mom of a 10-year-old who's in 10 years going to decide whether he makes Michigan his home, so this is personal to me. We need to fix what's broken and ensure that Michigan's a place where everyone can thrive, and I know we can be that. We have all the ingredients, our Great Lakes, our academic institutions, our history of making and building things. We have everything we need to be the economic engine of the Midwest, and I'm going to be a governor determined to take us
first
there.
First goal if you become governor.
Fix our health care system.
Boom.
We need to drive down those costs. It's life or death for folks who can't afford premiums or are suffering from cancer or other types of things where they need access to quality care. We have to address that first, and then education, bringing us into where we are now into being a top 10 state for public
schools. How poorly we're doing in education.
Well,
I knew it wasn't good, but I didn't think we were in the bottom 10. I thought we might be in the middle.
You know, I've spoken with leaders in other states like Wes Moore, Governor Moore of Maryland, and what they needed to do was enact a comprehensive blueprint for reforming education in our state. We need to do the same thing here, and I'm going to be talking about that tomorrow and more in the weeks ahead. But as the daughter of public school teachers, educator myself who has run and transformed educational institutions in Detroit, I am ready to meet this moment and ensure we are taking our public school systems into that top 10, because I know we can get there with the right leadership.
Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson, where do people go online to get more information about your platform and maybe contribute?
JocelynBenson.com. You can also sign up to volunteer. We want to build a statewide coalition. This is my fourth statewide campaign. We're ready to win in November, but we want everyone at the table with us because we're all in this together.
JocelynBenson.com. Madam Secretary, thank you for being with us.
Thanks always for having me, Paul.
We appreciate it.
I'll see you next year.
All right.
If not sooner.
Okay. Excellent. I hope sooner. Relentless positive radio. That's what we're trying
to do. Right.
Maybe we can also get some. We got some from Madam Secretary, now from Bill Wild, the CEO of MIRA, Myra Midwest Independent Retailers Association. How are you guys doing, Bill?
Well, we're doing good.
Microphone, please. Is there a button we should press? Okay, we just switched. Okay.
Solve problems everywhere.
You're a problem solver.
All right.
She took her headphones off and gave them to Bill. Yes, sir.
There's one, too, for the Secretary of State. She's still fixing things, right?
Yes, she is. So what's the story?
So, Paul, you know we represent about 1,000 businesses in the state of Michigan that are affected by Michigan's 50-year-old bottle bill. And that's a bottle bill that was created 50 years ago. It's a piece of public policy that most of them don't last for 50 years. But it's created a lot of burden on our grocery stores, and we're trying to start a campaign to get those dirty bottles and cans out of the grocery stores, and let's come up with a better solution.
I can't believe that's been 50 years.
Yeah, and we have a governor candidate right here next to us, so I can make the pitch here face-to-face.
Well, I like the line, it's time to recycle the bottle bill.
Yeah, and MIRA members, we're certainly not advocating now, and we still want people to recycle bottles and cans, but I think in COVID, we really saw firsthand about keeping contaminants out of our grocery stores. Paul, remember people were taking groceries home and washing them before they took them in their house?
Yeah.
So imagine 50 years later, we're still taking dirty bottles and cans back into the grocery stores, places we're buying fresh produce and fresh meats and packaged goods. And think about all that time that went into making sure that those foods arrive there safe for people to consume.
So what is the plan then?
Well, our plan is to start the conversation because we want a solution everybody can live with, because we do believe in recycling. So we're trying to talk to governor candidates, statewide candidates, the incoming legislatures to start that conversation, because I think everybody agrees that we have to get these dirty bottles and cans out of our grocery store. So we're gonna try to convene stakeholders, because over 50 years of public policy, you pick up a lot of stakeholders to get them around the table and let's come up with a better solution.
Well, Bill, while I have to tell you, I do remember why we did that, because unbelievably, thinking back now, people would be drinking a Coke or something and they finished a can, they just threw it out the window of their car. People threw trash out like there's going to be someone there, like at home, to pick up after you. And we said, what the heck is going on? So we made it illegal to throw trash outside of the car, and we made it costly to send your bottles and cans and other things out too. But you do believe that having recycling the bottle bill, modernizing our recycling system, is doable. How do we compare to states that don't have this bottle law and charging people money?
So there's only 10 states in the country that have a bottle bill, and no state has created a bottle bill in the last 25 years.
Really?
So that shows you that other states are recycling bottles and cans. I mean, when you travel up and down the freeways, I don't think you see litter like you used to back in the 70s. So there is a better way. There's 40 states that are doing it in a better way than we are, and I think that we could learn a lot from them.
How are the legislators and others reacting to this?
Well, they all have grocery stores in their district, so they get it.
They get it.
They've all been through that process.
Yeah.
We're all a little nervous about our college-age kids and our sports teams that are taking those bottles back, so we have to keep that in mind. But once we talk about the health aspects of this, you put that on top of the burden it's created for retailers, the cost. I think the time is right for a new
discussion. I think the time is right just to save money, because you buy something now, you put that cost right on top of it, people will take the savings.
Paul, the oldest grocery store in America is on Mackinac Island. It's Dowd's Market. They've been family-owned since the mid-1800s. If you walk in Dowd's Market, it's a perfect example of the burdens that we've created for retailers. At Dowd's, they actually have to put those bottles and cans on horses and drays and take them to the docks,
pay to
put them on the boats, and then have them stored on the mainland. So it's really created a real burden for them, financial, labor, and other things.
And if the Dowd name sounds familiar, in the family, it's the mayor who gets elected and has been elected 50 times in one-year terms. Can you imagine having to do one-year terms? It would be crazy. Bill Wild, CEO of MIRA, Midwest Independent Retailers Association. Any way we can help get the word out, you let us know.
Yeah, we just asked folks to go to MidwestRetailers.org, and you can learn more all about this campaign.
MidwestRetailers.org. We continue in Focus on Mackinac Island. Paul W. here on WJR. Focus with Paul W. Smith at Mackinac Policy Conference with a dear friend of ours and of the radio station and of all of Michigan, for goodness sakes. She is the president and CEO of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan, Tricia Keith.
Hello. So great to be here. Nice to see you, Paul W., and great pin that you're wearing. Affordability matters. I love it.
You ask people. I had it on the boat. I had it on at dinner last night. I wear it wherever I can, because
you know
what? That's like the biggest and most important thing in our lives right now. Affordability matters.
It does matter, and that's why we've been raising the conversation for over the last year and a half, talking about affordability. And, you know, it's a squishy term, and you have to define it. And so we're talking about all the upstream costs for healthcare, and you've been such an advocate for us getting the word out, so thank you.
Well, you've done such a great job in, frankly, starting uncomfortable conversations. The kind we have to have in the state of Michigan, as I hold in my hand, the house is on fire. Michiganders grossly overestimate state rankings. It's very depressing, but we're not going to talk about that right now. We will and have in the regular show. But we've got nothing but good news. Congratulations again to you and all the hardworking men and women of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan. J.D. Power number one in customer satisfaction. That's your third in a row, 4 out of 5.
It is, and thanks to all of our team members who put that put that together, and having our members have trust in that card, confidence when they carry that card, and that means, you know, we scored 8 out of 8 categories, tops in ranking, and that it's around digital access, it's around trust, it's around network. And that's what we work to do every day, is provide access and affordability. And so we work hard for that award, and we were delighted to be able to announce it for the third year in a row.
Well, you've earned it. And I've said this on the air before a number of times. My late great father, William D. Smith, was an insurance man.
Right.
He was an independent broker. He didn't even sell Blue Cross. It wasn't part of the network. And he used to say to me, no matter what, if you can get Blue Cross Blue Shield, get it. It's the best. And he sold other products.
Well, and that's lovely to hear, and that's what we want. We want people to have confidence in carrying that card and what it means, that they can access where they need to access, that they can afford the coverage, and that they can have trust that when something happens, we're there to take care of them.
And Tricia Keith, with his president, CEO of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan, I said it about bringing up uncomfortable topics and dealing with them. You brought up the uncomfortable topic of one of your longtime partners and the expense disparity. And that is, I'm not going to hide it, especially now, it's University of Michigan Medicine. And they're big, and they're important, and they're growing, and people like to go there, even though we've got great hospitals here, closer to home. They're coming closer with a new facility in Troy. But I am so happy that this uncomfortable argument among friends, is the way I might put it. Actually, somebody put it that way to me, has been resolved.
Well, we're thrilled as well. And our partners at Michigan Medicine, you know, we were committed to get to a deal, but we had to have the uncomfortable conversations, just as we've been having about affordability in general, and talking about what is driving the cost of healthcare. Because we recognize when people are getting insurance premiums and they're seeing a rise, they want to understand why this is happening. And when 47 cents of every dollar that somebody pays us in premium goes to hospitals, you have to have uncomfortable conversation with the hospitals. And Michigan Medicine is a great institution. They were committed to getting to a deal, and we did that. And so we were able to preserve access, preserve affordability for that. We have a long-term agreement that will make sure that our members can get the care they need at the great institution that Michigan Medicine is, and frankly, at all the institutions across Michigan. People buy our product because they want that broad access and be able to go. And whether it's Trinity or Corwell or Henry Ford, McLaren, wherever it is, people want to be able to get the care that they need. And we're lucky that because of the investment that Blue Cross has made in partnership with the hospitals over so many times, that we have great healthcare systems in Michigan, great quality care.
We absolutely do. And now Michigan Medicine's academic health system facilities and providers will remain a part of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan, your health network. So clearly, just so that you hear it here on WJR, you can stay with the doctors you have. You can stay with your health care at Michigan Medicine if that's what you have. And you're not going to miss a beat.
That's right.
And believe me, I know how hard you've been working on making that happen. So I congratulate you.
Well, as if you didn't have enough to do. Yeah, it takes two. And our partners at Michigan Medicine were committed to that as well. And so I credit them.
And if you wonder why Tricia Keith, president and CEO of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan, is looking at that, it wasn't that long ago, and I've been around long enough and beyond that, where they were spending what I thought was an incredible amount of money, $80 million a day, on their members' health care. Well, now it's $107 million a year. Somebody, you and your team, had to look at that and say, man, oh, man, we have got to figure out what's going on here and figure out how we can fix that.
$2.5 billion more in claims last year over the year before, and that has just risen. And so the dramatic high use of a dramatically more expensive system is what is driving those costs. And, you know, at Blue Cross, we want to take care of people. But in 2024, we paid out $1.04 for every dollar we took in. In 2025, we got that down to $1.02 for every dollar that we took in. But that's not a sustainable model. And so we're working to make sure that we can impact all across the system, make the system work better together so that we can bring our members affordable solutions.
Well, you're doing a heck of a job. Congratulations to you on all of this good news. And the fact that you've been chosen to introduce the governor in her final speech up here and the keynote. That's quite an honor that you were chosen to introduce her.
I'm honored and excited, and we'll be doing the Q&A with her as well. And we'll be having a lot of the conversations that need to be had about what's happening in Michigan, what some of the solutions are, and also celebrating some of the successes that we've had as well.
Good for you. Good for you. Tricia Keith, President and CEO, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan. Thank you, and thank you for the great job you're doing.
Thank you. Likewise, it's always great to talk with you, Paul W.
Looking forward to our next three guests to close out the hour. First up, the CEO and co-founder of Sensei, former Republican governor of the great state of Michigan, Rick Snyder. Sir, nice to see you as always.
Paul W., it's always great to be with you.
Please
Relentless positive radio.
Right, indeed. Give our best to Sue, and we miss her for the weather forecast. She could take some credit for this beautiful weather we're having. Doug Ross is here, president of American Promise Schools, former Democrat state senator. Sir, nice to see you.
Good to be here.
So what are you guys doing up here, the 21st century learning? Lay it out for my listeners on unlocking potential.
Yeah, so 21st century learning in Michigan. I love the tagline, student-centered real-life results. And that's what this is about, Paul W., about bringing innovation into our schools and doing it on a voluntary basis. If you think about it, we have a very antiquated system of education in this nation. It goes back to 1906, the Carnegie Unit, and it was about saying kids have to have their seat, have their bottom in a seat for so many hours a day for so many years. And 120 years later, we're just suggesting that there be some innovation.
There might be room for innovation rather than just if your butt's in the seat, you're being educated.
So the idea is, and this is all permissive, and the idea is if your local school district wants to do it, if your teachers and their union want to do it, and if parents want to do it in that community, let's let them get a waiver from seat time and innovate and do creative things where you can combine geometry with carpentry. You could history and science together. You can do all these combinations, more apprenticeships, internships. This is awesome stuff.
It's awesome. Listen to his enthusiasm. Doug Ross, are you getting anybody fighting you on this?
Well, change always alarms people.
Yeah.
Good news is the teachers union, MEA, has really stepped up and supporting it. Business groups are supporting it. Slowly, I think the school organizations are coming on board. So, and of course, part of the innovation is a Republican and a Democrat doing this together.
Working
to
together.
Say, this isn't about fighting and partisanship. This is about kids. And this is about the fact that what worked really well 50, 75 years ago, and our teachers aren't worse than they were then. If anything, they're probably better prepared. The world changed. And if we don't change with it, we get left behind, which is kind of what this conference is about.
Yeah. One of the cool things, Paul W., about this is Doug and I got excited about this general concept about student-centered learning, you know, self-paced learning, all the competency-based learning, all these variations of innovation. But what we found is we found the Future of Learning Council. And there's been a group of – there are over 85 school districts in Michigan that are public districts, charters, intermediate school districts. They've been trying to do this for several years now, and they're being constrained. They're being held back from being able to do more by the seat time rule.
Right. And when we – went to school, you and I, Paul W.
By horse and buggy.
We were preparing us to go into the factories and into the big offices, so we sat in rows, we moved to bells, we spoke only when spoken to, at least that was what they wanted us to do.
I was a budding talk show host, I spoke all the time.
You spoke all the time, you were a problem. It just is the wrong, so now you got to be able to solve problems. You need to be able to communicate. You need to not cover your paper, but know how to work with other people. The world has changed, and we're simply saying it's time to let schools change.
Too. Optional pathway, not a mandate, waiving barriers to innovation, more time for students, accountability built together, student-centered learning, mastery, not seat time, real-world project learning, career exploration, flexible pathways. You can learn more at 21cmi.org. 21cmi.org. Will you both, individually or together, I don't care, come on again when we have a lot of time, when we're not up here pressed like we are at the Mackinac Policy Conference, and let's go through this. It's important enough for people to fully understand it and embrace it.
We'd love to. We're fired up. We're ready to go. Yeah, this is relentless positive action. Let's go.
We need that relentless positive action again. We need that enthusiasm. Gentlemen, Governor Rick Snyder and Doug Ross, thank you both. for being with us. And sitting here enjoying all of this is Megan Spanitz, the Chief Operating Officer, Chief Strategy Officer for the Detroit Regional Chamber. Nice to see you, Megan. Is it going well in your opinion? This is your shebang, your party.
Yes, it's going very well. Thank you for having me, Paul W. It's nice to sit down and get a little bit of a break.
Well, yeah, this is like the easy time. And we like having you sit here. And people are together. They're connecting. They're developing real policies and ideas and talking about Michigan's future. As you know, I got to reach over for this. As depressing as this magazine has been, the Detroiter, unfortunately, there's some real truth here. We're in bad shape, and we didn't even realize we're in bad shape.
That's right. The Chamber's been sounding an alarm bell for the past few months that Michigan's house is on fire. And it's been multiple decades of decline. It's spanned Democratic leadership, Republican leadership, and we're not pointing any fingers. We're just trying to raise awareness that we've dropped from being a top state in many of the categories that are important to moving to achieve economic prosperity, and now we're at the bottom.
I thought we were maybe in the middle.
No,
but we're not.
Most Michiganders, our polling shows us most Michiganders think we're in the middle of the pack, and we're not. But we also think there's fixes. Like, there is a fire hose, there is hope, and that's part of what we're talking about this week.
Is that being discussed?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's been a lot of news. The fact that Michigan State is about to lose their sixth president in 6 years, that Michigan still doesn't have a president. I mean, the only good news we had early on was being able to tell everyone that Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan has actually worked out their differences with Michigan Medicine. And we had that on the show. And I got to tell you, it was fabulous news because that in itself was a big problem. So we're hurting for good, positive news. So if you're here to tell me, Megan Spanitz, that people are talking, people are not just hangdogging and saying, oh, man, we're in trouble. They're trying to work together to fix things.
And that's the ethos of this conference. This year's theme, a quest for common ground. We want business leaders and government leaders to come together and talk about the most pressing issues and the fixes for them.
And that's what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that is good news. So everybody's happy so far with everything, the way it's been going?
Yes.
I was saying it seemed like one of the biggest crowds, but I have no idea. Has it been considered successful in that realm?
Yeah. Well, ever since COVID, we try to keep the crowd a little bit smaller just because the weather's not nice. It's harder to move around the hotel. So it is a big crowd. We had more people show up on day one than we've ever had.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering, when you guys all got together, you, Sandy Baruja, and decided about this policy conference and everything that was going to be happening, was there any pushback when people said in that meeting, we have to tell people just how bad things are?
Well, I think there wasn't pushback, but there was a desire to not just ring an alarm bell. Like, that if we are the bearers of bad news, we do need to communicate how to move the state forward. Oh. So I think the messages need to go together. And we have the right people here at the hotel this week to start talking about solutions.
Excellent. Megan Spanitz is Chief Operating Officer, Chief Strategy Officer for the Detroit Regional Chamber. She sat down and went, oh, finally I can relax. Well, our time is up. You've got to go out there and work again.
I sure do. Thanks for taking the time with me today. And thanks for WJR and everything you do to tell the conference's story.
Day in and day out, we try to help you guys.
Yes, you do a great job. We appreciate it.
You know that. We continue hour number two coming up. We're here live at the Detroit Regional Chamber Mackinac Policy Conference. Well, we've certainly heard some very good news today, as Tricia Keith told us just a while ago, minutes ago, really, about the Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan and Michigan Medicine reaching a contract agreement, which is wonderful because for a lot of us, you know, I'm a Michigan grad, I'm a spokesperson for Blue Cross Blue Shield. It was kind of like a family spat for me, and I'm so happy to say, thanks to the help of Luann Thomas-Ewald and others, well, don't shake your head no. The fact of the matter is, without you, we wouldn't have Dr. David Miller with us, who is, in fact, the CEO of Michigan Medicine. You're in charge of the medical school, the hospitals. Go blue.
Go Blue. Absolutely, Paul W. Thanks. And I'm grateful to Luann for her incredible leadership for Michigan Medicine as well.
She's done a fabulous job.
Incredible
We've known
job.
Her for years. She hosts a show on here. We co-host a show about four women. And just some great stuff. But Dr. David Miller, I want to hear about you. And you run what is thought to be one of the best medical facilities, the whole shebang, the medical school, the hospitals, in the country. That's pretty exciting.
Thank you. Yeah, I think, Paul, you're right. We're so proud of the work that happens at Michigan Medicine every day, and that's inclusive of our medical school, our world-leading academic medical center in Southeast Michigan, and our member systems across the state in Lansing and in Grand Rapids. And I think we think a lot about our mission of advancing health to serve Michigan and the world, and we're asking questions. How are we thinking about the future of education, the future of healthcare, and the future of research? And I'll mention, you referenced our announcement with Blue Cross. We're grateful to continue our longstanding partnership with Blue Cross and find new ways to create value and better health for patients and communities. And most importantly, to continue to make sure that we're preserving access for the world-class care at Michigan Medicine for patients across the state.
We could not be happier, Dr. David Miller. This was truly like a family spat. Families have disagreements, have spats, but in the end, they work them out. And you guys have worked them out, which means for the people listening right now who have been going to University of Michigan for medicine are now able to continue doing that, knowing that the deal has been done with Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan. And let's face it, you're getting closer and closer to home with the new hospital in Troy.
We are, you know, and we've had an exciting year. We opened our new healthcare pavilion on the Ann Arbor campus that's allowing us to expand access for patients across the state with complex cardiovascular neurosciences conditions. It's actually giving Luann, who leads our children's hospital, more space to take care of pediatric patients from across the state. And as we move into Troy, we're trying to be responsive to what we're hearing from communities. We see hundreds of thousands of patients each year from Oakland, Macomb, or Wayne County, many of whom have cancer or other diagnoses that are best treated closer to home. And we're really excited about being a good partner in the community.
I want to know, Dr. David Miller, CEO of Michigan Medicine, meaning in charge of the medical schools, the hospitals, and all of that. Back in 1975, when I was proud to and lucky to be able to graduate University of Michigan, you know, when we went to school on horse and buggy, it's always been, to us, the best medical school in the world. How do you stay in that position when everyone's shooting at you?
Yeah, I think, you know, we celebrated last year the 175th anniversary of our medical school of training the next generation of leaders, and we were very excited that we recruited a new dean, Tommy Wang. But to your question, Paul, I think the future of education is understanding how to support education with technology. The idea, like when I was in medical school, that you'll just spend hours poring over books in a library has changed quite a bit. And so thinking in medical education about how you support both the ability to access data and information through technology and then apply it in patient care, that's an area where we think we can continue to distinguish Michigan Medicine and University of Michigan Medical School.
Here's an off-the-wall question, and I mean no harm by it, but it used to be that those young doctors, I don't know if they were called residents or whatever, they used to work nonstop. I mean, constantly working. And then they were called upon in an emergency or something else, and they had to respond and react, which is kind of like real life. Do they still have that incredible workload?
Oh, at the University of Michigan, our resident physicians and trainees and students are the best in the world, and it remains a very, very
grueling,
busy and tremendous commitment to patient care. And we are thinking about ways, for instance, that technology can support that given the commitment. And if I can give you one good example,
yes,
we've implemented in our outpatient clinics an ambient AI technology that allows the conversation between a patient and their physician to happen and then supports a high-quality clinical note so that there's less time spent on documentation and more time focused on the patient. So as our teams continue that incredible work every day, we're looking for ways to support them and balance that commitment to patients and the well-being of our teams.
That sounds like an excellent use of AI, not replacing the humans,
supporting,
but helping them, supporting them. Congratulations to Michigan Medicine and Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan. They've reached a contract agreement, and thank you, Dr. David Miller, CEO of Michigan Medicine. And we look forward to many conversations. Go Blue, as
Thank you, Paul. I'm so grateful to be here on behalf of our incredible teams, and go Blue.
Now, our next guest might be go green, go white. I actually never asked him.
Mr. Gilbert is.
I know Dan Gilbert is, without question, go green, go white. But Jared Fleischer, you can be whatever you want.
Yes, sir.
He's the CEO of Bedrock, and tomorrow he'll be participating in a conversation on population growth. And I am so happy, after being so distraught and disappointed by the overall feeling of the Detroiter, this publication of the Detroit Regional Chamber that says our house is on fire. I'm not blaming them. You don't shoot the messenger.
Correct.
They're just telling us. But I had no idea how bad off we are. It's really bad. But you bring us some joyous, positive information. Once again, Michigan is the place to be as we see population growth for the fourth straight year.
Yes. Led by the city of Detroit. I mean, the city of Detroit, before, you know, Mr. Gilbert and Mike Duggan and now Mary Sheffield, you know, came together, the last time Detroit grew was 1957.
Wow.
1957. And then now in 23, 24, and 25, we turned it around. We're leading the state in growth, and it's a model for what we need to do for the rest of Michigan, which is you got to understand that our cities and our state are a product. You want to grow it. You want people to buy it. You've got to give the consumer what they want. We have to build the kind of vibrant city with a quality, affordable housing that people want, and that's what we've done in Detroit, and that's how we're leading the state in growth.
As I see it, too, we're speaking with the CEO of Bedrock, Jared Fleischer. And the country as a whole saw declining growth from July 1st, 2024 to July 1st, 2025, and yet Michigan added about 28,000 residents during
yes.
that time. So it really is very good news in spite of all the bad news.
Yes. I mean, the country's growth, you know, we have declining birth rates. We had obviously a decline in immigration. But I'm very bullish on the future of Michigan if we have the right leadership. We have a great climate. We have a beautiful state. We have fresh water. We have a great city in Detroit that we're rebuilding in a great way. Grand Rapids is a great city that's got a more vibrant downtown than ever. We've got to just keep our foot on the gas. We've got to tell our story, and then we can lead the nation in growth.
Yeah, well, that's what we need to do. There's no question about it. There's nothing you and I can do right now about deaths outpacing births in Michigan. This has happened.
Well, Paul, you can. I don't know what your plan is for tonight, but you can. Right. You can.
You better talk to my wife. She will not be in your fan club,
okay.
I'm just saying. But seriously, that is something that we've been dealing with for a while. We'll figure it out.
Yes, sir. It is. But Michigan needs in-migration. We need in-migration. We need folks from the coasts who are, you know, in cities with, you know, lots of congestion, unaffordable housing. We need them to move to Michigan for our beautiful state, for our vibrant cities.
The ability to buy a house.
The ability to buy a house. We have relative affordability. That's what we need. And by the way, how did the South grow? How has Florida grown being such a juggernaut? It's all domestic migration. My point of view is it's getting too congested, too unaffordable, and too hot down there. Come back to Michigan. We're building a place for you.
Good for you, Jared Fleischer, CEO of Bedrock. Any way we can help along the way, you let us know.
Yeah, this helps. Telling our story helps.
All right. We'll continue to do it and give our best to Dan Gilbert, if you will, and the whole team there.
Will do. Thank you, sir.
I mean, what you guys have done for the city of Detroit and for the state of Michigan and therefore these United States, we can never thank you enough.
Thank you, sir.
We continue in focus from Mackinac Island on WJR. All right, as we continue here live from the Mackinac Policy Conference, the Detroit Regional Chamber's get-together, it's big, it's important, a quest for common ground, more necessary than ever before. Here's a great company that we have supported. Actually, I'm not kidding when I say from the beginning. I was there when this company began. I remember the old offices. I remember the groundbreaking for the new offices. And was just out there recently again, welcoming the new president and CEO of ITC Holdings Corp, Krista Tanner. Nice to see you, and it's going well.
Nice to see you, too. And, yes, so far so good. So well, I'm 60 days into the job.
Has it been 60 already?
It has.
Time flies when you're having fun.
And we are having fun.
Good for you. Are you at all concerned? I mean, there's some negative news out here about where Michigan stands. I just want to find something out here real quick. because I also hear people talk about the grid and this and that. I don't know if they know what they're talking about, but how is our grid? Is it okay?
Yes, our grid is in good shape. So as you know, ITC, largest independent transmission company in the U.S., founded right here in Michigan. As you said, you were with us from the beginning when we started 23 years ago.
Wow.
And since then, we've invested nearly $10 billion in the Michigan system. That's right. So we're really proud of that. We're really proud of the role we play. We're the backbone of the grid. And so as companies want to locate to Michigan, they find that the grid is ready. And
that's, yeah. By the way, that's very important.
Yes.
They want to know that Absolutely. Their businesses and their people that work for them, the family of their company, are able to buy houses affordably and make sure they have the power they need. And the business doesn't want to come if it doesn't have the power it needs.
That's right. Yeah, just imagine when you're without power. You know, it can be annoying, and it could be, you know, it can be very challenging to health and catastrophic in some cases. And for businesses, if there's a blip on the grid, they could lose millions of dollars. And so it's critically important that we not have outages and not even have blips.
And mostly we don't.
Mostly we do not.
And that's a testament to ITC and the men and women who work there and work to keep the power on and moving the way we need it to move. I know that... we've talked about the Christmas time when you decorate those big towers. I think that's the greatest. That's you guys have been doing that for a while. And there also are times when I've been given press releases and such where you are going to be checking. Don't be alarmed. We're going to be checking the towers with helicopters, right? Mm-hmm. Now, are drones going to take over that business, and is that going to be helpful to you?
We do use drones sometimes, but we still use helicopters. And so, that $10 billion that I mentioned, some of that's new lines. Some of that is proactive maintenance. And we're really proud of the reliability that we provide and the economic development lifeline that we provide. And that is because of this proactive maintenance. It's sending helicopters out, sending drones out to fix a problem or identify a problem before it happens. Think of it as the maintenance you do on your car, right? Mm-hmm. It's more expensive to fix a big problem later than to do routine maintenance. So we've taken, you talked about the beginning, ITC was started with this bold idea that focusing on just transmission could be transformative. And in fact, it has. It's by focusing on just transmission and taking this proactive approach, proactive maintenance, it really improves the quality of life and our economic development landscape here.
We're speaking with Krista Tanner, President and CEO of ITC Holdings Corp. Do you get a lot of questions, Krista, of people saying, well, what about data centers? Would we even be able to have power if we had data centers? Do you get people asking you about that?
Yes, and I'm really grateful that you asked this question because it's on people's minds, rightly so. And there are, in fact, parts of the country where they can't handle the data centers and they're driving cost up. That is not the case in Michigan. In Michigan, we have the infrastructure in place, and we can accommodate any new customer, whether if it's a data center or a chips manufacturer, anything else that wants to locate in Michigan. And in fact, because of the work that our utilities do and our state regulatory commission does, they make sure that customers are protected. So no one is paying more. In fact, rates are going down in some parts of our service territory because of data centers. So in a state outside of Michigan, our ITC's rate is going down 20% by the end of the decade.
All right. Is that because the data centers are spending a lot of money with you and that brings everyone else's bill down?
Yeah, it's just math. There are fixed costs that everyone shares. You bring in more people to come in and share those costs, and those fixed costs go down for everyone. So they are paying their incremental cost, whatever it takes to serve them. So they're paying their share. And then those fixed costs that everyone pays, they're bringing those down. And so we're seeing that in Michigan, too, that anytime a new customer comes, whether it be a data center, chips manufacturer, anything else, that brings down our rate.
That's huge.
It is huge.
It's huge news.
Yes. Yeah. And we've got to tell that story better because people don't know it.
No. And I hope people listening now are going to get this point across to other people because that's incredible because most of the fear factor with the data centers is this very issue. Oh my God, my electric bill is going to go up. Mm-hmm. This is the first I've heard that it actually could go down.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And part of that is, I mean, that has happened in parts of the country where they haven't handled it well. And so I'm glad we have shows like yours that focus on Michigan so we can tell the Michigan story. Because in Michigan, we've got a good news story here, and we should be. We should shouting it from the rooftops.
Excellent. What else is going on before we let you go? Anything else we should know about or something you want to brag about?
Yeah,
anything?
Well, you know, I told you the secret to our success is being proactive. And so while we're ready for new customers today, we got to be thinking about the future. We're building 450 miles of new line in Michigan, including our first interstate connection in 50 years. So we're really proud of the work that we're doing. We're proud of the way we do it. We're engaging with landowners, hearing their concerns.
That is not cheap work, 50 miles of new lines.
Yeah, no, it's 450 miles.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah, it's the first.
I was trying to save you money. 450 miles. Yikes!
It is.
But I'm not going to ask you how much it is a mile.
But
you could tell me.
What I will tell you is they pay for themselves. So these lines are the types, they're economic projects, which means the benefits outweigh the cost. So what they cost is outweighed by what they bring us in reduced congestion charges, better reliability, fewer outages. So yes, there's a cost, but keep in mind that in Michigan, transmission, our piece of the bill, is 5% of the bill. So a lot of value for a little bit of your bill.
Keep up the good work. And as has been the case since ITC was born, any way we can help you, Krista Tanner, we will.
Thank you. I always love talking to you.
Well, we love talking with you, the, I can still say, new president and CEO of Holdings, ITC Holdings Corp., Ms. Krista Tanner, and her great team gathered around, hanging on every word. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you, too.
We continue in focus on WJR. A couple of great guys sitting across from me, separate but together. Tony Michaels, president and CEO of the Parade Company. Nice to see you always.
Good to see you, Paul.
Always nice being with you. And that's the same goes for Tom Kelly, CEO of Automation Alley. Tom?
Yeah, thanks for having me, Paul.
We were having such a good conversation, then we got interrupted by having to be on the radio. I'm just kidding, because we're going to have an even better conversation here. And, of course, I saw Mary Culler, the president of Ford Philanthropy. She's always looking great and working hard. And, of course, the Ford fireworks are up next.
Yeah, June 22nd, Paul. And we can't do it without Ford and our other sponsors. But, you know, Mary Culler, president of Ford Philanthropy and the Ford family, think about the things that they do for us as we put on the biggest events in the city. And
yeah.
It's just, we're just honored, and we have to do a great job, and it will be bigger and better than ever before.
It is every year. You say that, and it's the truth. And he is, by the way, I don't think he likes this, but I call him the Wizard of Oz and Ooze. Because, so you know, we look up, we go, ooh, ah.
He's a star in Detroit, I'll tell you.
You are a star in Detroit.
Oh, no, no, no.
When is one of those big balloons going to be you?
Oh, never, never.
Or one
never.
Of the, one of the. What am I?
A big head.
A big head.
We have a big head of Paul W. Smith.
Yeah, well, it's
right.
Hard. It's lifelike.
Yeah.
And hopefully they put a microphone with it so
we did.
People have
it's
an
all
idea.
Set.
They go,
right.
Who's the guy walking down there with nothing?
We have a microphone now. Okay. Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
And he said to me, how's this for a sales pitch? It'll be in the parade long after you're gone. Which for the rest of the day, all I kept thinking about was dying. And thought, oh, but at least the big head will be in the parade when I'm dead.
Small consolation.
Oh, boy.
So everything's going to be bigger and better. Have you put in for the good weather?
Yeah, we have. Yeah, we're going to have great weather. And I have to tell you, Todd Bettison, Chief Bettison.
Great chief.
Mayor Sheffield.
Great,
we have
great
our next
mayor.
Safety summit coming up on June 9th. It's going to be great. We need people to come downtown, take it in. If you cannot, turn on WDIV and you know, check out the broadcast. They do an amazing job. But also this year, the soundtrack is going to run on WJR.
Again, like the good old days.
Yes.
And I'll do a little special pre.
Yes.
I think 7 to 9:45-ish. Yeah, something.
Yeah.
Then we'll hand it off to the famous countdown.
Yes.
Right, as they get ready to fire up the barges.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So if you're downtown, have your radios with you. Click on to WJR. And because it's completely choreographed, you know, to that music track.
It's awesome.
So,
it is choreographed. And Tony does First of all, he looks great in a tutu, and he does such a dance to that music. Sorry, I can't get that vision out of my mind now. Along the way, though, we've got Tom Kelly, the CEO of Automation Alley. How's this going for you, this event today, this weekend?
It's fantastic. You know, obviously the fireworks are a crown jewel of Detroit and a feel-good story. And, you know, Automation Alley, we're up here talking about Project Diamond, which is a kind of an under-the-radar feel-good story. So, you know,
talk to us about Project Diamond, will
you? So Project Diamond is we buy and distribute 3D printers for small manufacturers, and we teach them how to use them. 3D printing is the AI for manufacturing. It's additive manufacturing. Hmm. We teach them how to use AI and how to create new components so they can sort of take control of their manufacturing growth. And we're up to 550 manufacturers in Southeast Michigan. Can you believe it?
Wow.
They're all on a network. They can all share resources amongst each other. And we have what's called digital transformation centers, which are centers that have more sophisticated 3D printing machines that any of the 550 members can use. It really is. It's called distributed manufacturing. It is the future. And we're so proud that we've been able to build that network.
I want to mention, too, Tom Kelly, CEO of Automation Alley, some good news you might not have heard because you were not here at that time, but we just had Krista Tanner on, president and CEO of ITC Holdings Corp., and she says, bring on the data centers. We can handle them.
Yeah. Well, you know, 2 weeks ago I just wrote an op-ed in Cranes saying, you know, Michigan needs data centers, but on our terms. There's a lot of disinformation that's going on out there.
Yep.
And we're at the point where data centers are like roads were back in the 40s and 50s. You know, people didn't like all the interstates. It caused a lot of disruption. But where would we be today without the interstate system?
And just imagine if Michigan became known as a very friendly state for data centers. Because you take that property where the data center isn't, and the taxes are $25,000 a year. You put a data center on that property, and taxes are $25 million a year. I may be exaggerating, but not really.
There's a data center going into Missouri, and people are fighting that. The community has $30 million revenue base. The data center would pay to the community $30 million a year, the entire tax base.
It's unbelievable.
It's this crazy talk, right?
And Tony is looking at us right now saying, wait a minute, I could get them to fund my new facility.
They could fund my new facility
in 1 year without even blinking.
Absolutely. But, Paul, I should tell you about that.
Yes.
We have a bill supported by both Democrats and Republicans on the table right now to be in the budget. Cross your fingers. I hope Matt Hall and the team approve this, and it's part of the budget. Our fingers are crossed, and we're hoping and praying that it gets done this time.
Well, we're hoping and praying as well.
Thank you. Keep up the good work. Thank you.
Tom Kelly, CEO of Automation Alley, and Tony Michaels, president and CEO of the parade company Ford Fireworks, coming up next. And, of course, WJR will continue to be supportive and a part of it. Gentlemen, thanks for all the work you do.
Thank you, Paul.
Thanks,
we appreciate
Paul.
It.
Good to see you.
Some positive news. Relentless positive radio. On News Talk 760 WJR. It's WJR's Tim McGraw VIP Experience, your chance to rock when country music legend Tim McGraw brings his Pawn Show Guitar Tour to Pine Knob Music Theater August 28th. You could win a pair of premium pavilion tickets, transportation courtesy of the great Metro Cars. And speaking of great, how about $100 to Buddy's Pizza? To enter, download the free WJR mobile app, find the secret keyword, then text it to 800-859-0957. For more information, visit WJR.com. We close out the show here at the Detroit Regional Chamber Policy Conference on Mackinac Island with two notables that actually were fighting each other, and now it's all together. In fact, Tom Leonard, for goodness sakes, you dropped out, and now you're supporting the guy sitting next to you.
I am, and I'm proud of it.
And the guy sitting next to him is John James, U.S. Congressman, 10th District, Republican gubernatorial candidate. John, good job there.
I appreciate that, but I, Respectfully, sir, we didn't ever fight. Tom and I have been friends for quite some time, and he's a model of what statesmanship and what leadership is in the state. I'm honored to have his support, and we're going to continue to work together to keep the Republican Party together and let everybody around the state know, regardless of race, color, creed, or political affiliation, that we're here to serve you, we're here to put you first, and we're going to put a plan together that's going to benefit everybody.
Well, I have to say, Tom Leonard, a partner at Plunkett Cooney, you told me pretty much that you were dropping out because of the increasingly negative race that was out there. And it is the way things are.
Yes.
And it's wrong. And we can see where it gets us. The House is on fire. Michiganders grossly overestimate state rankings. We're in the even I was shocked and very disappointed because I thought, okay, we can do a lot better. But I didn't think we were below middle. We're at the bottom of the barrel, my friends. What the hell? What are we going to do about that, Mr. Well, Governor?
Well, the first thing we're going to do is lead by example. And there's no better example than what you've seen out of Tom Leonard, recognizing that the fight is not with other Republicans. The fight is not even with other Michiganders. The fight is to make sure that we're doing things like focusing on pragmatism and focusing on things that actually work, focusing on lowering taxes, focusing on local control, focusing on education, entrepreneurship, the things that got us to an amazing state in the first place. We don't have to imagine what works. We just have to remember, people moved here from all over the country and from all over the world for a better life, and we can get back to those things with the right leadership, people who are focused on the right things, and that's what we're focused on leading for a positive vision for the future.
Tom Leonard, do you feel you can do a better job in the things that you think need to be done for the great state of Michigan by not being a candidate?
My goal is to make certain that we have a governor that's going to be laser focused on turning this state around, which is why I'm supporting John James. And that's what I'm going to do every day between now and November. And he and I had a really good conversation. And Paul W., when you look at this education crisis we have right now, 74% of our fourth graders cannot read at a proficient level. I know that John James is laser focused on fixing that. We need a governor that's going to stand with law enforcement. That's why he was just endorsed by the Police Officers Association of Michigan yesterday. And I was very clear. Even when I was running, I had police officers that were supporting me that I knew trusted John James. Those are two of the big reasons why I'm supporting him. But one, I think the biggest is the fact that he and I both have three young kids. He wants to keep these kids here as well. You know, I always said on the campaign trail, one of my biggest fears was that one day one of my kids was going to come to me and say, Dad, I've got to leave for a better opportunity. Mm-hmm. I know he wants to keep his children here as well. Again, he and I are laser focused on making certain that we turn the state around, and I'm going to do everything I can to help him get elected.
Would Tom Leonard be open to or accept a position in the John James administration?
Right now, I am laser focused on getting him across the finish line and making certain he's the next governor.
So, yes, John, he would be willing to accept should you decide to call upon him because he's a sharp guy.
Tom's a talented guy with a lot of experience, and his heart and his mind are in the right place. His experience would accrue to the benefit of the state of Michigan.
100%. No question about it. How's it going?
It's going well. I mean, it's a beautiful day in Michigan, but there are so many people out there who are depending on us to do the right thing, not to just reshuffle deck chairs on a sinking ship, to recognize that our state's on fire and we have to do something now. We have to have a long-term vision, yes, but we have to do the things right now today to improve people's lives.
Like what?
To remove harmful mandates that are making everything from gas to groceries more expensive, to make sure that we employ the educational tax credit so parents can send their children where they will be safest and most successful, focusing on the basics like literacy, numeracy, and truancy so our children can get a good education, bring transparency and ethics back to Lansing so that we can remove the shroud of secrecy that's covering up all of the fraud, waste, and abuse that we've seen. We cannot trust people who've been a part of the problem for so many decades. Now, all of a sudden, catch Jesus and fix it. We need to have people who have the experience in the real world to bring change now and to bring change for the long term. That's what I'm committed to, and that's what the people of the state of Michigan deserve.
Well, and a lot of these people have been here through all of this. You can't say, during the Republican gubernatorial time or when the Democrats were in office. I mean, this is a problem that goes back several governors and several years, 30, 40, I don't know. And we do need to fix it, and I'm I tend to agree with you. It can't be the people who've been here all this time seeing it and not saying it, and then worse than that, not doing it.
And see, this is when I bring up my military experience. And people they talk about, yes, I flew 750 hours combat in Operation Iraqi Freedom. Yes, went to West Point, Ranger qualified. But among the other things is when you're the leader of a unit, you don't get to complain about the team that you have. You don't get to complain about the commander that was. At that moment, you are the commander. It is on you. And so at that particular point, the buck stops with me. I'm going to be leading for everyone, accomplish a mission, no excuse.
Well put. I wish you well. And Tom Leonard, I think that was a big sacrifice you made, but I understand it now better than ever.
It was the right decision. Again, I am proud to support John James to be our next governor, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to get him elected.
All right. There's nothing else to say. This has just been fabulous, a fabulous, positive, relentless positive radio to end. John James, U.S. Congressman and Republican gubernatorial candidate, and Tom Leonard, former Republican gubernatorial candidate, partner at Plunkett Cooney, and throwing all of his weight John James's way. We'll be back here tomorrow at the Mackinac Policy Conference. We'll look forward to being with you. Regards, Paul W. Smith.